Dogs know their place, but we confuse them. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Dogs know their place, and we confuse them. When you tell a dog, come, and you train a dog to come, he comes, and he is part of you and part of the enjoyment of what you're doing, and he goes along with whatever you tell him to do. And then you say, sit, and he sits. And he says, this is nice. I like someone who knows what they want and who knows how to get it. I like that. And so then you say, okay, roll over. And so he rolls over, and he says, this is fun. I'm doing something that pleases my master, and I'm pleasing myself too. And then you say, okay, now that's enough of that. And he looks at you, and he says, hey, what are you talking about? Are you saying you don't want me to do that anymore? Are you saying you've had enough of that? Are you saying quit, stop, end, basta? Dogs know their place, but we confuse them with so much talk. It's just like if you give an instruction. The stop sign at the edge of the road says stop. It doesn't say, you are now coming to an intersection that is dangerous, that the other car has the right of way, and he has freedom to go back and forth, and it's not a four-way stop, it's just a single stop for you to stop, and you're to stop, or else you'll get yourself in trouble. If you don't stop, you'll get yourself in trouble. Now, if you had to read all of that information on that stop sign, in no time at all, you'd be as confused as the dog is. The dog doesn't know what you want because you are saying so many things and giving him so many signals, and he doesn't know which signal is the signal to take. So he just stops, and or he just runs away and goes and plays. He's not running away from you. He's running away from the confusion that you're trying to put into his consciousness. Now, truly, dogs know their place, and we just confuse them by giving them so much information, so many details. When we become self-disciplined in life, we learn to act upon the simplest symbols, the simplest signals. And the simplest signals and symbols are like the stop sign. It doesn't have a lot of information on it, but yet it has a whole volume there. It says stop. It says, this is the law. This is the law of this city, this state, this county, this highway, this freeway, this byway. This is the law. We, here at the University of Healing campus, the monastery itself, we have signs occasionally. 15 miles an hour is the speed limit on campus, and we have signs that say that. Now, many people drive over 15 miles an hour, but it's not really comfortable because the roads are twisty and turny and dirt roads, and it's better to drive 15 miles an hour. And we really wouldn't have to have the sign up there because it's difficult to drive more than 15 miles an hour without feeling very unsure of yourself and unsure of your ability to stop or go. And then we have an occasional stop sign, and the stop sign says stop. Because this is a blind corner, people coming from the other direction cannot always see you coming out of here, and you could create a problem. So you just stop. Give them the right of way because they can't see a thing. And it doesn't say that. It just says stop. So if you learn to stop when it says it, do so. And then there's another little sign. It's at a crossing where Ellen comes from her embassy to the monastery, and it goes across the road that goes up to the Hermitage from the Citadel. And it's a very nice road, and Ellen walks across that road, but then there's a sign facing both ways on that road. It has some children walking along with a fishing pole, and it has some dogs and cats walking along with some little children holding hands, and it said, crossing. You know, children crossing, you know. And so it gets you to just, oh boy, I better be careful here. I don't want to run into anybody because they're not always paying attention. And so It's like a dog. The sign says all of that, and the minute you see the sign, you slow down. The minute the dog hears sit, he sits. He doesn't say, why do you want me to sit? What do you want to sit for? I might have been a bad boy. Am I a good boy? Am I doing the right thing? Why do you want me to sit? And you say, okay, now down. That means lay down. And so then the dog lays down, and he says, this is nice. I don't mind this here. And whenever a dog is laying down, its mind is completely on the fact that it's laying down and that it is supposed to be down there and not doing anything else. And of course, in that process, everything is in perfect order. The dog is happy and you're happy and everything is fine. And you see a dog doing something that he shouldn't be doing, you don't say, stop, don't, no, 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 bad dog. You just say, sit. And when you have the dog sit, you have his attention, and then you say, no. Or, this is what you do. Whatever you do, you do not have a discussion with the dog until you got his attention. And so, this is what we learn. This is what we learn from our dogs. This is what dogs know their place. We confuse them. If we just tell a dog to sit or to lay down, the minute they do, whatever they were doing, they stopped doing because their attention now is on sitting or laying down. Confusion comes when we try to expect too many things. Do we know what we want? All we know is that we don't want a certain action. And so the way to not have a certain action is to put a cause in motion that's going to take care of that action. Now, if a dog is doing something that we don't want him to do, we tell him to do something we do want him to do. Sit. Stay. When I go into the monastery each morning or each mealtime, Rex and I are together. And I have Rex sit down before I walk through the door. And I walk through the door, and sometimes I say stay, but I say sit. And I walk through the door, and I go in and take off my jacket or hang up my things or take off my shoes and put on my slippers or whatever I want to do. And then after I'm all done, then I turn, and Rex is sitting there at the door. And I say, release, or I say, come, or I say, good boy. Whatever I say, he knows that it's time for him to come in. And with a bounding joy and a flipping around happiness, he says, here I am, everybody, here I am, here's the life of the party, here I am. And then I say, okay, Rex, sit now. And he says, oh boy, am I going to get a treat? So he sits, and little Love comes running along with him and sits with him, and he says, hey, maybe I can get in on this too. And so I reach into a special container I have there at the door on top of the shoe container, and I take out a cookie for Rex and a cookie for Little Love. And both of them are so happy. Well, the three kittens come running up too, and they say, hey, what's in this for us, you know? And I must really get some kitten tidbits too, because it's about the time now that they want to come in for their share of welcome into the house. You see, we confuse creatures when we expect them to know the diatribes that we throw at them. When we expect them to understand the large amount of information that we are trying to put out to them. A stop sign just says stop, and it has immediate response. A slow sign just says slow, and it sometimes has a wiggly snake underneath it saying, this road is very twisty-turny, so slow down. Other signs in life are like that, and the more curse, the shorter, the more consistent these lines, the signs are, the more easy they are to respond to, and the more easy they are to have them be done properly. They're like a dog knows their place, and we confuse them. A dog knows what it should do, and we, by our much talk, confuse them. Sometimes road signs are too busy, too. And a sign might say, blasting ahead. And you say, oops, I wonder what that's all about. And you slow down because curiosity. All you have to do is say, accident ahead. And right away, everyone's rubbernecking, looking to see what's going on at the accident, what took place. And it brings the attention. And it probably, instead of saying accident ahead or something, it should say, no rubbernecking, you know. Go on about your business, you know. Do not stop. Do not get in the way. And as there are fires, whenever there's a fire, the fire department says, stay back, stay back. Let the firemen have room to work and do their job. And people learn this after a while, but they still want to crowd in and crowd in and crowd in to see, because it's something exciting, it's something interesting. Dogs, of course, are much like that too. But when you say to the dog, at an exciting activity, you say, sit. The dog sits. If you've trained him, and when you are doing something that is very special, you just tell the dog, sit. Now wait. You go into a cafe and it has an outdoor eating area, and the dog can be in the outdoor eating area. And so you tell the dog, sit and stay. And if you feed the dog from the table, then you're in trouble, because the dog is going to be looking at you with those big brown eyes saying, come on now, feed me, give me something beautiful. But if you have trained the dog well, he will not expect those things. And he will eat at home, and he will eat from the special treats you carry in your pocket for him for when he does the right thing. And you say, sit, good boy, here's a treat. And you don't have to say it all the time, because the treat is in you appreciating his doing what is right for him to do. Dogs know their place, but we confuse them. And maybe it's about time we stop confusing them and ourselves by just expecting the best out of them and enjoying it very much. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.